Welcome to the Commands of Christ podcast, brought to you by the Home Discipleship Network. We're excited about guiding people to the Word of God to experience the abundant life and to be encouraged as they walk as disciples of Jesus, all through the power of Christ living in us. And now, your hosts, Gabe Cleeter and Nate Payne.
In this episode, we are continuing to talk about the command of Christ, watch and pray. This is found in Matthew 26:41, where Jesus says to James, John, and Peter in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." In this episode, Gabe, we want to talk about how do we practically live this out on a daily basis in our everyday lives.
And one of the reasons I think that this command, watch and pray, is so important, and it really gives us this practical application to our daily lives, is to watch and pray is to daily stay close to Christ.
That's it. That's the foundation of it all.
That as we stay close to Him, He keeps us from sin. You know,
Amen.
Scripture talks about, he said here, even in the scripture that you read, Jesus said, "Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." So watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. In other words, temptation that will come. But as we stay close to Christ, as we stay in His Word, He keeps us, right? He keeps us from entering into that temptation as we keep the gaze of our soul fixed on Him.
Mm-hmm.
It says in 2 Peter 2:9, I love this, it says, "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished." And so it's wonderful that the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. So as we stay close to Him, He knows how to deliver
That's
us.
Right.
He knows how to carry us through. He's the one that can take us through times of trial and testing and temptation, and He can keep us as we stay close to Him from giving into those temptations. I love that verse. It says, "I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day." 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "There is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man," right? And so the temptations we face in life, I think one of the things the lie Satan will try to tell us about temptation is, "Oh, you're the only one that's tempted by that," or "You're the only one that has that temptation." And so then we feel like, "Oh, it's just me," and we tend to want to seclude ourselves, when instead God wants us to run to Him, and even going to other members of the body of Christ and sharing what we're struggling with, share with them what we're struggling with, so they can pray with us and hold us accountable. Going to the Lord and sharing with Him the struggles and the temptations we're facing. What a friend we have in Jesus. We can take our trials and our temptations to Him, share with Him what we're going through. He'll sustain us. He'll carry us through. Because there's no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. And then it says these wonderful words, "But God is faithful."
Hallelujah.
Like, our victory in temptation is found in the fact that God is faithful. And it says this, "He will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it." And it says here that with the temptation, God makes a way of escape. And the word "a" there in the Greek is actually the definite article "the." So the idea here is God with the temptation makes the way of escape. And we know that Jesus said in John 14, "I am the way, the
That's
truth,
right.
and the life." So our way of escape in temptation is actually the way. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, that He is our escape from temptation. And it's in total, complete reliance on the person and work of Christ that we're able to live and walk in victory, that we don't give in to temptation. That when temptation does come, we press close to Christ. We cast ourselves on Him. We rely on Him. We rely on His victory. We rely on His keeping power. He keeps us from sinning. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5, 23 through 25, it says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless into the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." And it says these wonderful words, "Faithful is He who calleth you, who also will do it." Brethren, pray for us. And so we see it says here, like, faithful is He who called us. Like, He doesn't just call us to watch and pray. He also enables us.
Amen.
He doesn't just call us to this Christian life. He also does it in and through us. It says in Psalm 121, it says a wonderful thing about our Lord. It says in verse 4, "Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither sleep nor slumber. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is the shade upon thy right hand." And just to recognize and acknowledge the reality that you know, we've been talking about the danger of, like, spiritual sleepiness and sluggishness and laziness in our walk with the Lord. But praise the Lord that as we watch, as we pray, as we rely on Christ, that Christ is the one that is the one that doesn't sleep, right? He doesn't.
That's right.
There's no spiritual sleepiness in him.
That's right.
That our God does not slumber. He does not sleep. That he is able. He is almighty. He is all powerful. He does not sleep. He does not slumber. And as we rely on him, he's able to keep us in the midst of temptation, keep us from giving into it, and manifest his victory in our life.
I love how really reliance upon Jesus to fulfill this command is really seen in the command itself, in the sense that it's about watching and praying. And that, again, it points straight back to prayer is dependence upon God. We have to have him in our life if we want to pass these tests, to walk through these trials without failing. Another point of application, Gabe, of what this would practically look like in our everyday lives is understanding watching and praying is really one of the greatest prescriptions for not being tempted or and not giving in to temptation. It's that not necessarily that we won't be tempted, but it's that the desire that as we watch and pray, as the gaze of our soul is fixed upon the Lord and we are praying and we are abiding in the word and his words are abiding in us, there's almost an immunity. Our desires will start to be turned away from the things of the world, and we will have a greater desire for the things of the Lord. And then when that temptation comes, he will enable us through the power of his spirit to say no, or to stand in that test. And so the prescription really, Gabe, for resisting temptation, for not giving in to temptation is watching and praying, which is in many ways drawing near to the Lord. Revelations 3:10 says this, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, also I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. This is kind of getting back to what you were saying, Gabe. It's almost like as we keep the words of God, it's as we keep the gaze of our soul fixed upon him, he keeps us from temptation. He keeps us from falling. He keeps us from the power of sin in our lives. It's we know in and of ourselves, we don't have the strength to say no. I've found that out many times, but it's as the gaze of my soul is fixed upon the Lord and I look to him, he helps me. This is reflected in a quote by D.L. Moody. He says, fervency in prayer by the power of the Holy Spirit is a good preservative against thoughts rushing in. Flies never settle on a boiling pot. Essentially, I think what D.L. Moody was getting at is a fervency and a vibrancy in a relationship and a dependence on Jesus, sin can't stay there. It can't settle there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so good. It's like those intruding thoughts can't stay.
Nope.
When we're continuously turning our mind and heart to the word of God. I also think it's important to consider, Nate, as we think about how this practically applies to us, is, you know, we've talked about some of the different causes of lethargy in our lives spiritually, or spiritual sleepiness. We talked about how, sometimes a overconsumption of media can be a cause of spiritual lethargy, or sometimes giving into the busyness of life can be a cause of spiritual lethargy. But I want us to consider something else that can cause a spirit of sleepiness and hinder us from watching and praying, and that's actually undealt with hidden sin in the past. So if we harbor and we hold on to hidden sin, that hidden sin will affect other areas of our life.
True.
You think even in the story of the conquest of the promised land and how when they weren't supposed to take any of the spoils of Jericho, but Achan did, and he hid it in his tent. And that hidden sin actually caused them to lose the battle at Ai, right? Mm. And so if we harbor hidden sin in our life, it will actually hinder us in the spiritual battle we're in, and it will also cause a spiritual lethargy. And so I think one of the things, the important practical points here is if there is any hidden sin in our life, first we need to confess it. We need to bring it into the light. Scripture says in James 5:16, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And the 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We need to confess it. We need to bring it into the light. Mm-hmm. You know why? Scripture says that he is in the light. The Lord is in the light. So when we bring it into the light, we bring it to light because he is in the light. And we need to confess it. And then we need to forsake it. Scripture says in Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. Right? So if we're covering our sin, we're going to be hindered in watching and praying and going on our walk with the Lord and growing in that fellowship with him. But then it says this, but whoso confesses them, forsaketh them, shall have mercy. So we need to confess the sin. We need to forsake the sin. And then we need to replace it. Not just cleaning house, but filling
right.
the house,
That's exactly
if you will,
right.
with the right thing, with what should be there. Psalm 119:11 says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Even Mark 14:38, which is Jesus said, watch ye and pray lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. It's like it's the watching and the praying replaces the thoughts. Instead of giving into the temptation and considering that, instead, fill your mind and heart
That's
with
right.
the word of God. Turn to the Lord in prayer. So if there's hidden sin in our life, that can be a huge cause of lethargy in our life spiritually. We need to confess it. We need to forsake it. And then we need to replace it.
Mm-hmm. And I would agree, Gabe. And I think just along with the just being that lethargic state is we need to evaluate too, you know, where is my love for God? You know, it's interesting in Revelation 2:4-5, we see Jesus speaking. It says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. And the question in many ways is, you know, as a new believer, we have that initial desire for God. Many times there's that love for his word, and there's that sensitivity. There's that alertness, right? We're talking about that awakeness. There's that hunger for the things of God. And we really need to kindle that. We really need to foster that. And the way we do in many ways is watching and praying, being aware. How do we, maybe here's another question that could tie right directly into this. How do we become alert? How do we become sensitive to spiritual things? Well, Romans 8 clearly tells us how. It's by putting our mind on the things of the Spirit. That is the Word of God. The Word of God is spiritual. When we put our mind on the Word of God and we keep it there, we become sensitive to the promptings of the Spirit. We also become sensitive and aware of the tactics of the enemy. And there's a protection in that.
Yeah. And keeping that fiery first love for
yes.
the Lord, because I think if we don't fan that first love into flame
mm-hmm.
through the time in the word and in prayer,
right.
what happens is we start to grow lukewarm. And Jesus, we know, even said to the church in Laodicea, he said, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou were cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. That's a very strong language, right? But how God wants us to be hot and on fire for him, not spiritually lukewarm, not lethargic or sleepy in our walk with the Lord, but keeping burning in our heart for the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, that fiery first love for the Lord. And one of the things that keeps that fiery first love kindled is a daily time in the Word of God, filling our mind and heart with the Word, a daily time of prayer, seeking the Lord in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
It's that watching and praying
right.
that keeps that fire burning hot in our heart.
That's good. That's good, Gabe. Another point here of application is actually two kind of go hand in hand here that would be very practical is, and also an admonition is, don't grow among the thorns of this world. Mark 4:18-19, Jesus was speaking of, I believe it's the parable of the sower. And it says, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. So, Gabe, here it is that the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things are like thorns that cause us to become lethargic. They cause us to become sleepy in our walk with the Lord, that cause us to become unfruitful in many ways. And so avoiding those things that are of the world, avoiding those things that do not profit for eternity, that have more of a focus on self-advancement, self-pleasure than is pleasing the Lord. Another point just right along this is we as Christians need to avoid growing among the rocks. And this has direct application to this command to watch and pray as well, because shallow Christianity will not hold up against the tests and the temptations of the enemy. And that's what happened in Luke 8:13. Again, the parable of the sower. They some seed, actually, I'm just going to read a verse here. Luke 8:13 says, they on the rock are they which when they hear and receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation, specifically says temptation here, they fall away. And so not only is there a danger in the Christian life of living our lives with the influences of the word or of the world, and that causes us to be barren and unfruitful, but we also have to avoid growing among the rocks, basically meaning having a shallow relationship with God. Someone that is to watch and to pray has to go deep. They have to go deep in their walk with the Lord. They cannot just say, oh, well, 5 or 10 minutes a day is going to be enough to keep me in the hour of temptation. That's not true. We have to be continually tied into an intimate and close walk with the Lord and be growing and maturing in that walk if we want to be faithful during a test or a trial.
And I think a lot of this watching and praying that will keep us from that shallowness is a depth in the Word of God and a depth in prayer. And even Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 6:13, when he was teaching his disciples to pray, he said that they should pray. He said that we should pray, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And so that should be our prayer too, as we consider Amen. This command to watch and pray. We should be praying, Lord, you know, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he'll manifest his victory in our life. I also think we need to recognize that we are in a spiritual battle. And we talked about
That's
this
right.
earlier, but scripture talks about that we're in a spiritual battle and we are soldiers in the Lord's army, right? And the scripture says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. And so we have to be careful to avoid that which would entangle us. You even spoke of the thorns, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the desires for other things that you shared there from the parable of the sower. Those things can entangle us and trip us up. And God wants us to walk free from the entanglements of the world, flee from the entanglements of the flesh, free from the entanglements of the devil, that we might live and walk in his victory. And then realizing that we're soldiers, well, as soldiers of Christ, we can avoid the entanglements of the world, but then we need to see, what weapon have we been given? Well, scripture actually tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, as it's talking about the armor, it says in verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. But then it says this, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So it speaks here of taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. But how do we use that sword? In prayer, right? Mm-hmm. And that this is part of watching.
Yes.
I'm reminded of Jeremiah when they were rebuilding the wall, and how he had the people, and they had, or was it Nehemiah? I'm sorry. Nehemiah on the wall, and how he had the people, because they had a possibility of attack while they were building. They talked about how they had a trowel in one hand, you know, or a tool mm-hmm. for building in one hand, and a sword in the other.
Yes.
And so you were building and battling at the same time.
Which gives you the picture of watching and praying, right?
Exactly. Watching and praying. That's it, that we have, that we are both seeking to build and advance God's kingdom, as well as engage in the spiritual battle that we're in through Christ's empowerment and walking in his victory. So I think the word of God and prayer are some of the key ways that we mm-hmm. watch and pray.
And I think as we conclude this episode, another point that we could mention too is really, this is, like you're saying, we're in a battle. And so this becomes a life, in many ways, death situation, not in the sense of necessarily losing your salvation, but in the sense of becoming, whether we're going to be a fruitful or unfruitful, whether we're going to be under the bondage of Satan in many ways and the influence of darkness, or under the light of God and the joy and the freedom of the Lord. We see this in 1 Peter 5:8, where Peter says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And, you know, Ephesians 6 that you just referenced, it talks about we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. And so it only makes sense that the proper weapon for waging war with the enemy is prayer using the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It's maintaining our time in the Word of God, and it's using the Word of God in prayer that keeps us aware, awake, and also not just, you know, on the know or cognizant of the attack of the enemy, but also open and available for God to use and for God to accomplish his purposes through. So we hope that this episode has encouraged all of our listeners. I know we've covered a lot of ground in this episode, and we're going to, Lord willing, bring this command to a close in our next episode. But maybe this has given you some tools. I hope it has, to encourage you of practical ways that, just like in Nehemiah's time, you can have a trowel in one hand. You can be doing your everyday work and responsibilities. But in the other hand, you also have a sword, in the sense that you realize there's an enemy. You realize that, that if we're not careful and if we're not maintaining that close relationship with God through his word, we will be attacked. And so my encouragement to you is, abide in the word. Look to the keeper who keeps you, and that is your relationship with God. That is God. He is our keeper. And meditate on this command. Saturate, put your mind upon it, and ask the Lord, God, reveal to me how you want me to watch and pray in my life in every aspect. God bless you, and we hope you join us on our last episode as we discuss the command of Christ, watch and pray.
Thank you for joining us on this journey through the commands of Christ, brought to you by the Home Discipleship Network. If you would like to go deeper in this month's focus, head over to homediscipleshipnetwork.org, where you can download a free study guide to accompany each command. And if today is your first time with us, please subscribe on your favorite podcast platform, so you will be able to join us each week as we explore the commands of Christ together. That's it for today, and we'll be back with more next week.